epistle of James, James chapter 3. This morning, a very familiar passage from James' small book, James chapter 3, the first 12 verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, those things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts now to receive your word. Make it plain to us, a very practical lesson that every one of us needs to hear, because the challenge of the lesson is a challenge we all know. So make us attuned to your word. May your spirit have free reign in our hearts. And may you change us for the better, for the sake of the kingdom this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. David is described in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. Now we struggle with that because we know that David was not perfect. In fact, we know that he was far from perfect, and his sins are glaringly put before us on the pages of Holy Scripture. However, that should be a great encouragement to us, because we recognize that we are not perfect. In fact, we would not want our sins put on the pages of Holy Scripture. And yet, it is possible to be a sinner and still be a man, a woman after God's own heart. You see, what set David apart was that when he was confronted with his sin, he knew how to humble himself and repent and seek God with all of his heart. Even though he sinned, he never doubted once that there was a God who loved him and wanted what was best for him. And as you know, David would flee to God. David also was very much aware of his weaknesses, and he prayed often about them. How do we know that? Because the Psalms are often the prayers of David. And some of his prayers relate to James chapter 3 today. For example, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now there's a verse, the end of the 19th Psalm, that every one of us ought to pray every day. For there are two areas in our life that we all have problems with. It's what comes out of our mind, out of our mouth, and what goes through our mind. The Bible tells us that God knows the thoughts and the intentions of our heart. That's sobering to us. Another psalm, Psalm 39, verse 1. I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence. David said, I'm going to set a guard on my tongue. I'm going to put a muzzle over my mouth. I want to do everything I can to keep from damaging the reputation of Jesus Christ. I don't want anyone to look at me and say, ha, and you call yourself a Christian? Now you know as well as I do that unbelievers know what a Christian ought to talk like. They may not talk that way, but they know how you should talk if you call yourself a Christian. Again, Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Here we find that David realizes, I can't do this on my own. This is something that God needs to do for me. And so he cries out for help. Not all of David's prayers are what we might say are on the negative side, please help, please help. Psalm 51, verse 15, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. David prays, Lord, whenever I open my mouth, I want the praise to my God to freely flow out. Now, why did David pray this way? What was it in David's life that prompted him to offer up these tremendous prayers concerning the mouth? Well, David realized, as you should as well, that the quickest route to sin in my life is through words, through the things that I say, the tongue, the lips, the words spoken, the words written, the words even thought. So David did a quick review of his life and found out that he often got in trouble because of the tongue. So he offers up these prayers to the Lord. And of course, the same is true of you and me. Words can inspire you. I think of these words. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. You recognize famous I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King. Perhaps words that will inspire you are a little simpler than that and more personal. Things like, will you marry me? You have a job. But words can also devastate you. I don't love you anymore. Your mom has just passed away. Words can encourage you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The words of our Lord. Or perhaps just simply, great job. Keep up the good work. James knew all of this. And because words are powerful in so many ways, he begins this section on the tongue and on words and what comes out of our mouth by giving us a warning in verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. It's an interesting segue into his main teaching here. He's saying to believers, be careful in the church to aspire to being a teacher. Why? Because those who use words to teach and encourage and admonish will be judged twice as harshly as those who don't. So he says, stay away from it unless you absolutely have to. The famous American opera singer, Willie Nelson, sang, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. James is saying, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be teachers. Why? Because they use words and will be held, they'll be accountable for all that they say. He then had an interesting observation, verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Now, I can't help but wonder, as James writes this, is he thinking about Jesus? I mean, James grew up in the home where the Son of God grew up. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He grew up in the home of someone who never stumbled in what he said, ever. And I wonder if he's thinking, you know, I've seen it once, but I've never seen it again. But I know what it's like to be in the presence of one who never stumbles. While the rest of these verses are a treatise on the tongue, treatise on speech, on words, what you say and write and type and think. And they prompt us to ask the question, why is it so difficult to control our tongue? Why is it so hard? What is it about the tongue that causes me so much trouble? And James has four observations that he wants us to see this morning. The first one is this: the disproportionate influence of the tongue. The disproportionate influence of the tongue. Verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us and we guide their whole bodies as well, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. I think we want to stop as we begin this and understand that when we're talking about the tongue, we're also talking about what's in our heart. When we're talking about words, when we're talking about spoken words or written words or typewritten words, that the tongue reveals the heart. Jesus told us that many times, did he not? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus said, listen, it's very simple. Your heart is a vault, and out of that vault come your words. And your words reveal who you are. And someday when you stand before God, your words will testify either for you or against you. On that day, your words will reveal what's really in your heart. Then turn just a few pages to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Beginning with verse 7, Jesus said, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Down to verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person, For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Again, Jesus is saying very clearly here, words come out of the heart. Words can either build us, build someone up, or tear someone down. Words will reveal who or what controls your heart. What's so amazing about that, James says, as we go back to James chapter 3, your tongue is a pretty small part of your body. He's saying if you compare it to your bicep, if you compare it to your thigh muscle, if you compare it to your heart, if you compare it to your lungs, you compare it to your brain, it's pretty small, and yet this pretty small part has a greater influence than all the other parts. Might we even suggest more than all the other parts put together? He uses two illustrations. Verse 3, the small bit in the mouth of a horse. That very small bit controls this incredible animal that God created, the horse. In fact, those of you who have ridden a horse know that the more the horse gets to know the rider, it takes a very slight tug on the bit, and the horse will respond immediately. Verse 4, the second illustration, the rudder of a ship. It's a pretty small part of a ship when compared to the rest of the ship. In fact, most of the time, you don't even see the rudder on a ship because once the ship has been built and is in the water, the rudder is always underneath the water. Now, I want you to notice the wisdom of the two illustrations that James uses here. The bit controls the internal desires of the horse. The horse may desire to go this way, but the bit, as he responds to it, has him go that way. So the bit controls those inward desires. The rudder controls the ship from external forces, James says, great winds and waves and the water. I think it's the same in life, is it not? What is it that often reveals the deep struggles within you? What is it that often reveals your reaction to external circumstances around us? We respond with the tongue. We respond with words. We respond with speech. In the last week, in the last 24 hours, maybe even in the last 2 hours, have words got you in trouble? Have words hurt? Or have words built someone up? Have you used your tongue to encourage or discourage? A little tiny member of our body. Its influence is out of proportion to its size, James says. Second observation is the disastrous consequences of the tongue. The disastrous consequences of the tongue. Verse 5. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. James says, listen, your mouth, your words, what you say, what you write, have the potential to bring disaster. You and I know this. Words can be inflammatory. They become the spark that accelerates trouble. Two recent illustrations of that. You all read in the Kenosha News in the last week or so of a recent shooting behind the Boys and Girls Club downtown. And when you read the article said this: it started with two groups shouting at each other, and it kept escalating until someone took out a gun. There was another article in the paper out of the city of Racine. A man who was in his front yard got beat up by a group of young people. And the article said that as these young people passed by, words were exchanged, and they got more vocal. And then it turned into a fight. Now, nothing about that should surprise you. You know, you should not have to read the newspaper to know that your words are inflammatory. They accelerate trouble. Those of you who are married, what is it that leads to fights? You know the answer to that. It's something that you said most of the time. Isn't it amazing how just one sentence, one half a sentence, can lead from calm to shouting at each other? We hear people say, he or she knows just how to push the right buttons. How do we push those buttons? With our mouth. With our mouth. We know just what to say. We know how to start a fight. We're a sick people, aren't we? What is it that leads to conflict between parents and children for the most part? Words. Words. Words that are spoken that can't be taken back. Oh, we ask for forgiveness, but often those words are stored forever in a file of the mind. You're stupid. You're a jerk. I can't wait till you leave the house. What is it that breaks up friendships? For the most part, words. Words. James says here, the tongue is often the spark to a forest fire. The tongue is like a little lit match that is dropped on the leaf bed of a forest, and the whole forest goes up. He says it stains the whole body. In other words, everything about you is influenced and affected by what you say. He writes that it sets on fire the entire course of life. From the moment you begin to speak to the moment they put you in the ground, it's the tongue that causes the most trouble. A quick test. You won't be able to do it, but you'll know the answer. The last 50 times you've said, I'm sorry, what was it for? Probably 49 and a half times for things you said. James knew. I know. You know. Your tongue is the quickest way to trouble. Now, it can also be the quickest way to blessing. But let's be honest. The scales aren't quite even, are they? They're not quite even. Third observation, the devilish lack of control of the tongue. The devilish lack of control of the tongue. The end of verse 6 says, it's set on fire by hell for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. A loose rendering of the Epistle of James. Go to the circus. Go to SeaWorld. Look at how man has managed to tame wild animals. Says, look at those animals. Watch the lions as they jump from one side to the other at the crack of the whip at a command. Look at the elephants and watch them stand up on their hind legs or sit down on a little platform. Go and watch the sea creatures. Watch the dolphins do things on command, even killer whales. Even birds can be tamed. I don't know how people do it, but messenger pigeons know where to go and where to come back. But if you don't even want to do that, just go into your own house. Your pets have been tamed and trained. There's a huge difference between your dogs, my dogs, and the wild dogs that are found in many different places. I mean, you buy yourself a puppy, what's the first thing you do? You house train it. That's James' point. We're incredibly talented in the training of just about any kind of animal, incredibly lacking in the taming of our tongue. In fact, I would submit to you that we often have a greater desire to get the puppy trained than to control our own tongue. Why is that? Well, verse 6, it's set on fire by hell. What does that mean? It means that the most vulnerable area of your body to the influence of Satan are the words that come out of your mouth. The words that come out of your mouth. The Bible says that he has the ability to whisper in our ear. He can't control you. He can't indwell you, but he can make suggestions anytime he wants. And the tongue is often the result. The easiest area for him to get you to fall. Not only is it set on fire of hell, verse 7, it's full of deadly poison. Sounds like a lot like the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. That's James' point. That's what James is trying to say. It's awful what comes out of our mouth. But notice again, verse 8 begins this way. But no human being can tame the tongue. I think there's a slight hint here. No human being tames the tongue. That eliminates me. That eliminates you. But I think there may be a hint by James here that taming the tongue is a God thing. You don't have it within you to do so, but God can do it for you. Remember back in chapter 1, we read this in verse 26 of James 1. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. What was the answer? Back when we were in chapter 1, we recognized the answer was the indwelling Spirit of God in the heart of the redeemed sinner. The only answer to our tongue is to be saved by faith and turning the reins of everything in our life over to the control of God's indwelling Spirit. You can't do that. I can't do that. God can control the tongue. The fourth observation, the deadly inconsistency of the tongue. The deadly inconsistency of the tongue, verse 9. With it, that's the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Without doubt, this brings the most grief to believers. Brings the most grief to me. And I'm guessing if all of you are honest, you'd say this brings the most grief to me. How often do we say, why did I say something like that? Where in the world did that come from? You see, we will come to this building on a Sunday morning and lift our voices in praise to God. And on the way home, in the car, we'll exchange angry words, hateful words, discouraging words. Sometimes that even happens on the way to church, doesn't it? It's amazing how often the ride to church is not a pleasant one. On Sunday, we lift our voices in praise and prayer, and on Sunday, we try to encourage one another. We do what Paul talks about in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We have our Sunday experience, but then on Monday, We leave our Sunday speech behind, and our tongue becomes the devil's tool. Deadly inconsistency. Notice what James says. You know, with our tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Now think through that. What is James saying? He said you can't have it both ways. You can't bless God with your tongue and then curse people who are made in the image of God. For if you curse people who are made in the image of God, who are you ultimately cursing? Their creator. Then he gives a few illustrations that you and I understand. We don't need to go into them. I think it's important at this point to emphasize that when we talk about speaking with the tongue, it's not only verbal expression. It's not only the things that you can hear. Listen to Alec Motyer in his commentary on James. This is so good. I can't say this any better than he does, so I'm going to read it to you. Listen to what he writes. The tongue is so much more than what we actually say out loud. In fact, actual speech is probably only a small percentage of the use of the tongue. We cannot think without formulating thoughts in words. We cannot plan without describing to ourselves step by step what we intend to do. We cannot imagine without painting a word picture before our inward eyes. We cannot write a letter or a book without talking it through our minds onto the paper. We cannot resent without fueling the fires of resentment in words addressed to ourselves. We cannot feel sorry for ourselves without listening to the self-pitying voice which tells us how hard done by we are. And if our tongue were so well under control that it refused to formulate the words of self-pity, the images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things are cut down before they have a chance to live. The master switch has deprived them of any power to switch on that side of our lives. End of quote. That's powerful. That's powerful. Words don't always have to be spoken so that you can hear them. You know, sometimes the words that you speak to yourself can be just as damaging as words that you hear. I'm no good. No one will ever love me. No one cares about me. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. And on it goes. Those long conversations that you have with yourself in your head can sometimes destroy who you are. What you type on the computer can be the same as words that are verbally spoken, can't they? Certainly, there's an application to James chapter 3 in our days of social media. Our words are expressed sometimes for everybody to see. You know, I'm often baffled sometimes by believers who will praise Jesus on Facebook or Twitter, and then on the next day have the most foul expression that you've ever read. I don't understand that. I don't think James would understand it. I think it falls under what James is saying here. So, how do you control the tongue? How do we tame our tongue? You can't. But God will. Let me just give you one encouragement this morning. One encouragement. One small idea. A starter idea. I want you to memorize one phrase out of this verse. Verses Psalm 19, 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now here's the phrase I want you to memorize. I want you to memorize in the next two or three days. It's not going to be hard, all right? Here's the phrase. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. There you have it. Memorize that phrase. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. And then get into the habit of saying it whenever you open your mouth, whenever you're about to speak, when you sense anger welling up inside, and we all can sense it, before you open your mouth, Lord, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. When you've just been blasted by someone else's words, before you respond, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Now understand your heart. Jeremiah reminds us that there are hearts are deceitful, desperately wicked. Listen carefully. In the heat of the moment, you always can justify your words. Always. You can always justify, I'm right in blasting you out of the saddle. But if you say this one thing to yourself before you open your mouth, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, it may save you from doing that. Whether you're at home, and certainly at home we need that, don't we? Whether you're at work, in school, in your car, when you cut off, nobody hears you except you and God, but he hears you. On your computer, let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,